Oh, hey, everybody. So if you are watching this, or you might be listening to this, we are about to see Glass. So I'm, of course, doing my little intro and doing all the fun stuff. But for those that are listening to this, because this is being put out as a podcast as well, know that it's not going to be the same format, but we're going to try to get as much into it as we possibly can. But it's another car review, so sound quality might not be as good as it is when we do the normal recording, because we're doing it directly from the video. So with that being said, what do I expect from Glass? Well, I've heard a lot of things. I've tried to stay as like quiet as possible with reviews around the web and everything like that. But the one common thing I've kind of run into is that some people don't really like the ending, so it worries me a little bit. The other thing is that it's a little bit of a garbled mess in terms of like the points in the story and where it's going to go. Like, he's trying to do too much to wrap everything together. So that worries me a little bit too. But I think that, you know, critics weren't so hot on Unbreakable when it came out, and it was a little jumbled with the story, but I really liked it because of the performances. I think we're going to get very strong performances out of at least Samuel L. Jackson and James McAvoy. I don't know about Bruce Willis lately. He hasn't been the best. So we'll have to see what happens with that. But I think that it's going to be very, very enjoyable. I think that I think it'll live up to what I'm expecting. And if it doesn't, you'll find out when we finish the next part. So it's going to be, you know, a little break in between here. I'm going to get a quick reaction from both Paranormal Pat and from Ben. And then, just like normal, we'll be back and we'll be doing our full review when we're done with the movie. See you then.
So we're here before the movie.
Yep.
And
we've seen Glass.
Goes to Glass. There's Crystal over there. And Dragon is back there. People are listening to this, can't you see that? But what do you think?
Well, I'm just hoping, I'm thinking, so I finally watched Unbreakable, because I didn't know about that being connected to Split. So I'm thinking this is just going to be maybe a little slow beginning, but then it's going to be all out action.
Do you think there's going to be a lot of action?
I think it is.
Do you remember both Split and Unbreakable?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
So that's why I feel like those two are going to be leading up to this. Like, you know, it's going to be more action.
All right. Any thoughts from either of you guys?
Nope. I'm excited.
Oh, Dragon's excited.
All right. So I didn't get a chance to get Ben's reaction because he had a ton of traffic because he lives a lot further away from us than he used to.
Exactly.
But we're all here. We haven't been here in a while. Together for a full review.
Yes.
So we're talking Glass. And like I said in the beginning in the little intro, there are going to be spoilers because, one, this is coming out. Well, the video is coming out soon, but the podcast version of it comes out a week after the Split one. So it's been out for at least 2 weeks.
Exactly.
So I feel it's safe to talk about spoilers because I feel we need to talk about the ending of the film because it's so not necessarily what I expected
at
out of the
all.
Film. And what he's trying to do, which I...
What a twist!
What a twist! And I can see why people don't like it.
I loved it, but I thought I was excited.
I was like, are you fucking serious right now? That shit was legit!
Yeah, I see... Because the way they ended it and what was... what it caused, that's why I accept the ending.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, like, no, I 100% agree with that. I do, like, the way they ended it, the way it finished off, yes.
They did overseer it dirty, though, I think.
Yeah.
They did David Dunn pretty dirty.
Yeah, pretty dirty.
I think that maybe that's what people are upset about, is the fact that... So, for those that you maybe haven't seen it or have seen it, the ending basically is that they do get the fight between the Beast and David Dunn, who's become the Overseer. The Tiptoe...
The Tiptoe Man. Which we won't speak of anymore.
Don't speak of that.
Yeah, you don't speak of the Tiptoe Man.
That's it.
But, so they have this fight, and it looks like, you know, Dave Dunn's going to survive because he gets out of the water.
Yeah.
He manages to bust open the side of that thing, and then all of a sudden... Everybody basically dies.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Mr. Glass, he gets his chest fucking caved. That's so much pain.
Yes.
Like, even hearing that and seeing that.
Oh, my God. Every time that they did the breaks in all that movie that happened to him perfectly, because it made me cringe. I was like, man.
Yeah, it's like you can feel it. And that's what happened here. And so he's been killed by the Beast, which was great. And
I totally, going through Split again, I figured out the whole thing with the dad, that the dad died on the train from Unbreakable. That's how they tied all that back together, which was great. And then they go, you know, after they fight, he's walking away and he ends up getting shot by a sniper.
Yep.
Because Casey somehow can reach Kevin because she's got, like, the feelings for him.
Yep.
Like,
well, the connection
to have a connection. It's not, connection. It's not feelings as in, like, I love you. But it, she understands him.
They've been through abuse. Well, they both
have a mutual connection. From the abuse from a should be a loved one.
They were friends.
So he gets shot, and then the fucking guys come down and drown fucking David Dunn.
Yeah.
In a little puddle of water.
Little puddle. And you know what's funny, too, is right before the fight, you could see the puddle filling with water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coincidence? I think not.
No, not at all.
And that's the thing. Like, I mean, to me, that was a little weak because, I mean, granted, okay, yeah, he was just fighting in that water, but he was out so long.
You should have been able to catch
him. But you can imagine, though, because if you remember from Unbreakable, he swallows water at a fast rate.
Yeah.
So if he swallows water at a fast rate, he can't empty the lungs fast enough.
And even at the beginning of this, like, well, maybe about 20 or 30 minutes in, when they actually use the water jets on him in his room, he has a hard time recovering from it as well. True. And he has it all in his throat.
Yep.
So, excuse me. Why don't you guys talk for a second? I can get this out of my throat.
I'll tell you something right now. The beginning of the movie, I thought it was going to be slow, but it was fast-paced. It really hit you, really drew you in, and my son had told me to mention, because I brought my kids to see this. It's PG-13, and my youngest son loved it when fucking Kevin flipped off the fucking security camera. He loved that shit. He was like, make sure you say that's my favorite part, which it was. So I will say that. My favorite part in the movie is when fucking Glass, whoo! I was are you fucking serious?
He saw this bitch had to get the right type of glass.
Exactly.
Right? And he kills, his name, like Daryl or something like that.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
You know?
It was fun to watch him, like, and realize, oh, yeah, I've been playing dumb the entire time for this fucking long. He flips up a little thing, like, look at these. These are just aspirin. All these
pills. Yeah, exactly.
And he still was able to stay one step ahead of everybody else. Including the secret organization that Sarah Paulson is a part of.
Yep.
And that bitch, as soon as halfway partially into this, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I hope this bitch dies. I really do. I really hope. And I knew there was something up with that bitch.
Yeah. Now there was something sneaky.
Because I'm like, they're just going to throw this chicken and say you have 3 days to try to cure.
Yeah, that's not how it works.
Like, no, that's not enough. No. Well, it shouldn't be enough time, right? Yeah. But it was, I think it made that specific timeline for the movie. So that way that it was kind of like, you had a sense of urgency, or she was really trying to do something different. And she even says to David Dunn at the end, if you had just accepted it and not done anything, I would have left you alone.
Yep. You told him.
Then he would have still been alive because he's one of the good guys.
Yep.
And it's an odd situation that they both, like, if she tells Glass, I go after both.
Yeah.
I go after the good guys and the bad guys. And the only reason why I think I accepted it is because of the way that it kind of ended. The fact that Glass still outsmarted her again.
Yeah.
And then he was able to record everything that was going on and spread it out through the internet.
Yep.
And that's, you know, at least back unto the family of the people, or the family and friends of the people that were involved.
I still want to know how they got the son and Casey's, Joseph and Casey's email.
Yeah.
I know he's super smart.
Super smart.
Well, he probably like hacked the database. You saw how fast he was typing on the screen.
He was typing.
And just, oh my God. Like, what the fuck? I hate when movies do that. Like, the code's just fucking going up on the screen hella fast.
Yeah.
And you just hear all the typing noises. It's like,
I don't know anybody
on.
Types that fast. No. Period.
Maybe a stenographer.
Yeah.
But even then, that's like shorthand.
It's shorthand, though. You know what I mean?
Not even so he learned how to do shorthand on a longhand keyboard.
Exactly.
He's that smart. But, I mean, I think that, like, I think that the pacing of the film, like Ben said, the beginning I felt like it was a little slow, and it was a little kind of like, I wasn't sure where it was going. But as the movie continued, then it got super interesting, and I totally lost track of what the time was.
Yep.
So, and again, all three of them, and the one I was worried about the most was Bruce Willis, because his acting chops haven't necessarily been the best in the last couple years. But he was really good in this.
He was.
Samuel Jackson was really good in this. Fucking James McAvoy.
He's
fucking ridiculously good.
Yeah. And I love the fact that they actually got all the original characters yeah. from the movies. The son looked exactly mm-hmm. like the...
Well,
like,
it's the same guy,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, that's what yeah. I'm saying. Yeah. It was like that familiar face, even though, like, even if you've seen the movie, you don't remember the movie, it's that, like, recollection. You get like, oh, I've seen this person before.
Well, I like that he took clips, obviously clips that were cut from Unbreakable,
yeah.
and he put them into this film, because there's a scene where he's talking to his father mm-hmm. after he's done the bench pressing,
yeah.
and the father, he's like, oh no, it could have been anybody, yeah, you know, anybody could do, there's people that can do more weights than that,
yeah.
but you didn't see that in Unbreakable,
yeah, like I
said, and he's still the kid at that
yeah.
point.
I was same thing, I was like, oh, these must, he must have went back, looked at cut scenes that he,
yeah, exactly.
or scenes
yeah.
that he cut out, and was like, oh, let's we can tie this in.
Is it as good as Split or Unbreakable? I'm not sure. I really don't think so. I think Split is probably the out of the three is probably my favorite.
Well, I went back and I rewatched everything. I listened to Brian both podcasts. And I'm gonna tell you something right now. It's a trilogy you have to watch in sequence because it makes way more sense and it doesn't feel like you're watching three movies.
No,
that's how it felt to me.
Mm-hmm.
Did not feel like I was watching three movies. It felt like I was watching one continuous movie. Without a B continue. You know what I'm saying? Glass alone could have been a standalone without you even really knowing what you were fucking seeing.
Correct.
That's how I felt. But all three of them complement each other.
Yeah. I agree. And it just like Glass says in it, this wasn't, you know, a limited edition, a limited run.
No.
It's an origin story.
Well, straight origin story.
And it truly is. It's not mm-hmm. about... It is about the characters, but it's about the origin of the emergence of real-life superheroes.
Yep.
That's and what villains. These are. And yeah. villains as
so
well.
So the question is, I got for you guys is this, are they just going to end it? Or do you think they're going to have an uprising movie of heroes or villains going after this organization? Or should they just leave it and leave it to your imagination?
Well, the thing is I don't know anyone's going to know about the uprising of the organization, but what I would like to see is if they would even take it that far, which I 100% doubt. But I think it would be a great story just to show an uprising of, they came out, I'm coming out.
I feel like it should just be, this is it. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like, I don't think he's going to do one. If he does one, great. I think that if he continues doing something along this, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
But I feel at the same time that it's great to leave it where it is, just that this exists within the world,
yeah.
right? So that they're all there, it's all... Everybody has everything out in the open, and we all know that it's there,
yeah.
and it ends it like perfectly. It perfectly ends his trilogy of story that he has.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
like Ben said, they could all just be their own separate movie,
yeah.
or you watch them all in sequence, and you can see how everything builds between them. Rewatching Unbreakable, you see signs of everything that's going on that he's done. Rewatching Split, you see everything that they set forward in Split. And now, like, seeing this and looking back on it, like, there are things that you in both movies
yeah.
that are here in this film that he's done very well, that he's set up completely. And I think that it's so well done.
That's why, like, during the credits, too, they were showing scenes from Unbreakable,
yeah.
scenes from
yeah.
Split,
yeah.
scenes from this movie, scenes yeah. from Unbreakable, scenes from Split.
And you know what's funny is, you know, M. Night Shyamalan's got a thing about always being in the movies.
Yep.
And I loved how he tied Unbreakable into the movie oh, even yeah. more.
Because Jay, the character that doesn't seem like he's worth anything in Split other than to be the like guy behind the you know the computer showing her stuff, he's actually the guy from the first movie. He ties it back. He's the guy that he was a suspected drug dealer.
Yep.
And then in this one, he brings it. He says, oh, yeah, I used to run with bad people.
Bad
day. And I was like, holy crap. You know, like you're really tying all three of these movies. A lot of people make trilogies.
Yeah.
But they don't make them so far apart from each other. And granted, Split is only 2 years old
yeah.
before this, right?
But Unbreakable, fuck.
But Unbreakable is so long ago, but he did a really good job of bringing everything together into one mm-hmm. full film.
That he did.
So it's one of those, I think, rare occasions where I haven't disliked any part. I mean, it's kind of like, this is weird to say this, like the Naked Gun films,
yeah,
right?
All perfect.
I love all three of those movies.
Mm-hmm.
They're stupid and ridiculous and whatever they are. But all three of these movies are very good.
Yep.
They're just, I would like to maybe see it. I want to see it in a space where I can sit and take notes and do all the other fun stuff with it. But it definitely is something that I thought was just a really good time after yep. it took off.
Question.
Sure.
Glass, villain or anti-hero?
No villain.
I think he's a villain.
I think he's like on the cusp because, I mean, think about it. Like, okay, so yeah, he did villainous things, but he's trying to bring something to light.
And the thing is, as an anti-hero, he has to be biased and not kill people. But true. He killed people, well, so that crosses the line.
People. Well, the
well,
thing,
innocent people, yeah.
Not, yeah. Well, yeah, but the thing is that I feel like he's not, he's, maybe he's not a villain or a hero, he's more of a creator, right? If you have to think about it this way, like, he's pushing all these things and all these buttons, mm-hmm. basically to prove to you that he's not useless. He yeah. has a place in this world, that he exists for a reason,
yeah.
and this is the reason that it is that he can, he knows, and he's bringing this stuff to light. As he even says, I create superheroes, I create villains,
yep.
right? It just happens to be that everybody's on the train at the same time. If that hadn't happened, then Kevin would have lived an awesome, or well, somewhat awesome
life, yeah.
Because his mom suffered from the same thing that he suffered.
Yeah, after the mom, after the father died.
Yep.
He's like an evil Stan Lee.
Yeah, he kind of is like an evil Stan Lee.
But
yeah,
we now have the M. Night universe.
That's why I'm like looking at
Shyamaverse.
Like,
the Shyamaverse.
It's hard to say he's a villain in a sense. I feel like because, I mean, yeah, he did evil things, but at the same time...
No, once you kill people, it's just what's going on. Like,
I wouldn't put you, yeah, in the
yeah,
hero
yeah,
category.
At all. Not even...
That's what I'm saying.
Like, if there was a spectrum, he'd be a light villain.
Anti-villain?
No. Nope. That'd be a hero.
I think that he's desperate for some type of self-worth,
yeah.
and that was the way that he could actually develop that self-worth,
yeah.
was by proving that comic book heroes are actually real.
Yeah.
Now... My one gripe in this film, and it sucks, is Casey. I felt like she was wasted until the last little bit when she's actually speaking with him and before he gets shot. And it sucks that that's the moment that's like the most beautiful moment between the two of them where everything that I saw at the end of Split, it comes together with them because they both have that tragic backstory mm-hmm. and the same type of abuse, well, similar type of abuse, just in different regards. And I really kind of disliked that they just kind of flippantly said, oh yeah, my uncle was arrested. Like, it just was out of the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Oh, I had it done. Oh, okay. Like, yeah. I maybe would have liked to have gotten a little more into it.
Or even just a couple of clips.
Yeah, just like a clip or something like that. Like, hey, you know, she realized that she can't keep living like this. And that's why she owes a lot to him. Mm. Even though, you know, he says, oh, when Hedwig sees her for the first time, you tried to run away from me and now you're here trying to see me. Yeah. You know, it was like, I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. Like, fucking James McAvoy.
He's great.
Oh my God. Fanboying over that guy just again. Yeah. To think that he came from fucking Wanted, because that was the first fucking movie I saw him in. And I thought he was pretty good in that movie. To come doing something like this, it's just amazing. I mean, I can't say anything else.
The character transitions were flawless too, because there was a lot of them.
He did a little more of the like that type of thing in this than he did in Split, but I forgave it because it still was great.
Yeah.
Like when he went through, especially when he was getting the light put on him and all the new characters that all of a sudden you met that weren't in there. Like, we really went through, I don't even know, maybe they did all 24 at some point in time. But the my favorite one was when the guy was talking about the paintings and all of a sudden Glass starts talking. He's like, yeah, paintings are kind of my hobby. You know, he starts explaining the stuff to him at the same time. Oh, and then the random Mexican lady that shows up.
That was a good one. I like to do, dude, I almost had you, man. I was like, oh, shit.
Some people say I talk too much and I spoil the ending of the movies. You know the priest dies at the end of The Exorcist?
I thought he said everybody knows that the priest dies at the end of The
Exorcist. Something like that.
Close enough.
So, what are the things that you like the best about the film and the things that you didn't like about the film? And you can do either first or...
Well, like I said, the main thing I didn't like about the film was... was basically that how they killed off what's his name again?
David Dunn.
I always think Dunn, but I can't think of David. So David Dunn. Like, this, I mean, granted, okay, yeah, I understand he was weakened, but I still feel like as long as it took to get to where they dragged his ass over there, you would think that he would have been able to, if anything, like the same thing. When he was fighting the beast in the tank, he found the strength to be able to fight through the water and get out. Well, now it's just a puddle with a regular guy who doesn't have strength like the beast. That to me was a little weak. But then everything else though is like, I love how they started off right at the beginning. The beast had the girls, you know, he busted in there and started saving them. I would have liked maybe a little bit more fighting between the two, a little bit better choreographed fight scene. But overall, I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
I know you said before, you said you thought there was going to be a lot of action in it, and there was some good action. But I don't think there was as much as you were expecting.
maybe not as much, but there was definitely, like I said, more to be more than the other two, and there was. So.
True, true. Ben?
Favorite parts of the movie I liked. You know what? I liked the beginning when the beast came out and he was fighting him right off top. Like Pat said, I'd like to see a little more action. But the one part that I hate the most, and the part, like I said, I like the movie was pretty much flawless. I just had a few issues with a small few things, but the biggest thing I had an issue with is when he flooded when the room got flooded initially,
mm-hmm.
they didn't show nothing. All they showed was the draining. There should have been a whole struggle to show how the room filled up, how he was suffering, and how much more effective instead of us just seeing the aftermath. I didn't like that. I think that was a little bit of a bullshit cop out right there on my half. But I just felt like they should have showed more on that because they showed so much of how the light changed them. You know what I'm saying? So like they totally ignored David when they were in the hospital.
And that's what I was gonna say. Yeah. You see how many times Kevin he tries to go and you see all the different changes at the same time. So he had to try to escape once.
Yeah.
And you can't. Yeah. You should show something about that. It's just. So I would say that it's a little bit on the way, and this is just like a Sarah Paulson thing. Like, I really like her, but sometimes I feel like she sounds extremely condescending, even when she's like just kind of being like normal, and to where it didn't hide the fact that there was going to be some twist involving her, right? And I didn't actually necessarily think about the second one that happened, which is something I really liked.
Yeah.
I'm totally okay with the way the ending is. I can, like, just like with Pat, I wish that maybe he had a little more of a struggle to stop them. Like, they had to bring a bunch more people in or, like, beat them down or something like that to show. But it's so simple that it's just, like, shove your thing in. And she's like, grab my hand. And I knew right then and there, like, okay, yeah, my suspicions were correct. There's something that's going wrong with her. But I think that it was shot really well. I like the framing of scenes. That scene when they're all together for the first time and you have that long purple hallway and they're slowly wheeling glass down there. I think that's really well done, really well set up. He didn't actually bring back the stupid, like, let's pan the camera over and what, except for when it looked like Unbreakable stuff was about to happen. I'm like, oh shit, now they're going to do that shit again. But I think that, you know, I don't think action is necessarily his biggest strength. But I still would have liked to see things like what Ben said with the cell and him getting blasted with the water. I would have liked to have seen a little more on, you know, maybe what Glass has been going through at the place because he's been manipulating everybody. And she says that these things have happened. It would have been nice to have like little snippets of those things. But to the point that maybe that would have ruined the whole thing of he's faking it.
Yeah.
But I think that it's a really well done movie. I can see why the audience score is much higher than the critic score.
Yeah.
I know. But like I said, I was saying earlier before I recorded with you guys, I said, Craig said the story was a little convoluted. It's not convoluted if you've seen all three movies.
Yeah.
Because everything is really connected. And he did, like I said, I think he did a really good job of connecting all three movies together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which for what it is. You know, it could have been 20 times worse than what it was.
Well, I'm going to say one thing
Dead people. Yeah, I'm sure that's somehow going to link. And there was that one scene where he's walking in the room. He looked exactly like he did in The Sixth Sense. And I was like, I see dead people.
One other thing I'll add that I really liked and didn't like was the beginning fight scene where they're throwing the table at each other.
Yeah, he fucking nailed that girl.
Oh my God, that was hilarious. Yeah. That wasn't supposed to be funny either, but that was fucking hilarious.
It was. And then, the fact that those girls got away, right?
Yeah.
So obviously, all those people that were there were probably part of that group. But those girls eventually had to have talked to a real cop or like, where's the guy who saved us? Like,
well, you don't know how deep and that's where it leads it to, because you don't know how deep their organization goes through. Because basically, all those police officers that were there were tagged.
Yeah, whatever the Clover group is. Yeah. Suddenly, this is going to tie into the Cloverfield universe or some shit like that.
That's it.
Fucking, they have monsters and shit. The M. Night Shyamalan monster.
He did Cloverfield?
He didn't do Cloverfield.
We're just making
reference. No, I'm just saying because they had the Clovers
thing. I got that, but I mean, that's when you said that.
I was just saying that, you know, because they try to tie all these random movies to Cloverfield for some reason.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. I've never seen it, so.
All right, so final scores. What would you give it? Let's go Ben first.
I give it, out of everything, I give it 5 drownings.
5 drownings.
Out of 5?
Out of 5.
Okay, I'm going to go 4.5 origin stories for, like I said, the fact that I wish there was a little more of the fight, or at least a little better choreographed fight scene.
For the action.
Yeah, because I feel like maybe because Bruce Willis is older, like, they didn't really get into a... It was more of a shoving thing instead of an actual...
But he has that, like, whole, like, costume that they could have just... Anybody could have been in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody. Exactly. And they were shooting from the top angles and stuff. And so that's why I'm going to go 4.5 out of 5 origin stories.
I'm going to go 4 out of 5 broken chests because I think that it's great. And just some of the same reasons Pat, some of the same reasons Ben has said, that I think that it's great, but when it's slow, it's a little bit too slow for me. So, quick plugs, guys.
Angry Motherfucking Dad Podcast, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Tumblr, all that fucking bullshit. B4th motherfucking power.
Yep.
Paranormal Pat, you can find me at Paranormal Pativity Podcast, Paranormal Pat 64, and Paranormal Pat 64 on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, surprisingly.
The first part sounded like you said Paranormal Pat, and I was like, wait, that's a totally different type of podcast. Yeah,
don't Google that.
Don't go to that.
Ghost porn?
That's it.
All right, as well, you know where to find everything. It's all going to be down below and in the show notes. Whoa. And all their stuff. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh. Well, you know, how much they wanted that vitamin D.
Woo!
You gotta
how much water are you drinking?
Yeah, that's right. Can I say this? There is one thing where there's like, how much water are you drinking? The guy's like talking to the guy in the beginning, and Dragon says out loud, he's like, oh, God, is that Ben? And I was thinking the exact same thing at the exact same moment. And I was like, and I looked over at him like, were we fucking like linked up or some shit like that? So, all right. Thanks, guys, for listening or watching, however you did this. And we'll see you next time. Terrible Terror and the car reviews and Terrible Terror podcast.
Woo!
Catch you later.